This is Take It or Leave It, the podcast releasing the raw, unedited teachings of Jesus. We are called to share his holy and powerful word that is not commonly taught, so all may be armed with knowledge of his commands. We are expected to live according to God's standard. Though this world may change, our Lord and Savior does not. Are you sure you are saved? Are you sure you are not distracted by this world? All teachings are shared with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you take it and implement change into your life, or will you leave it and continue on your own way? Jesus is coming quickly. Are you ready? I'm your host, Madison Santiago. Hello and welcome back to Take It or Leave It. We are jumping right in today with a review as well as adding on to the lesson that we have already been studying. As you know, we are in the series of priesthood because you and I are called into the royal priesthood. Amen. Something that I would like to highlight before we really jump in is that works follow the love of God. One cannot do the work until they receive the Holy Spirit, okay? So works follow the love of God, but one cannot do the work until they receive the Holy Spirit. They can do work by their own strength, but they will not be credited with anything, all right? That's really important that we note that. Unless it is powered by the Holy Spirit, you get no credit, okay? Some don't know that they're doing the work by themselves and not by God, but there is grace for that, right? Because that's ignorance. But some do know and they refuse, right? They refuse the Holy Spirit help and they will burn at the end. Many say that's harsh. God is not like that. But that is what he truly teaches in his Bible, that the Holy Spirit is a must. It must be the power behind any work that we do. Apart from the Holy Spirit, it could look godly, right? It doesn't mean it's a God work. Priests are faithful people. Amen. If there's anything that we have learned this far, it's that priests are to be faithful. They depend on God and they rely on God. Amen. I'm referring to the New Testament priests, right? Because priests are called to minister unto God. God needs people to minister, meaning to work the works of God. This is why he called people to minister unto him. It's important we move in where God tells us rather than doing the thing that we would rather do, even if it seems godly, because priests live by faith, all right? They have to. There's no choice. And it's the same with us today. If you are a priest, then you are in the New Testament, right? If you're listening to this now, you are living in the New Testament priesthood because you are a spiritual Jew. We've learned about that here on this podcast. This is what happens when you truly become a follower of Jesus. This is what happens when you drink the wine, right? Which is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes us a member of the body of Christ, literally a part of the body of Christ. When we drink the Spirit, this makes us sons and daughters of God. Amen. We learned that a priest is a minister to God, and they must be washed with the word. They must be clothed, and they must be anointed. We discussed that in the last episode of this podcast. And these are things a person must submit to before they can even qualify to become a priest. They must be washed by the word. In the Old Testament, like Moses did to the sons of Aaron, Moses literally washed them, right? And he dressed them. The new clothing could not go on the old clothing, just like new wine cannot go into an old wineskin. We must be a new creation. And third, the oil was poured out onto the head. And this is more than a couple of drops. It's a lot of oil. And today, right? Today, because the Old Testament does apply to the New Testament, today, the Holy Spirit is the oil, right? That is what must come upon us. It must pour into us so that it can indwell in us, okay? We also learn that the word is meant to wash. It's a scrubber. It's meant to tell people that you're not clean enough and you need to be cleaned more, right? We agree in our hearts and our mind that God needs to clean us. We agree that we must obey God and he must clean us up. We make up our mind, okay? Nothing has changed to the person during the washing of the word. They just made up their mind. That's the only change. You make up your mind. The clothing, once you make up your mind, the clothing is now upon someone, which is the justification, because God saw your heart, okay? He saw that you're ready to move on to the next steps. You cannot move on to the next steps unless you are justified. You do not get justified until you make up your mind. And if you recall, this is repentance, right? It's a change of mind, right? You were once a sinner and you don't want to sin anymore. You need God's help. Saying sorry all the time is not repentance. Humility comes to us, so we make up our mind to follow Christ. That is repentance. Then the Holy Spirit comes to you. Unless you repent, the Holy Spirit is not coming to you, all right? There's many today who haven't truly repented. They don't have the Holy Spirit with them, and they think that they do, and they're wrong. Let's be reminded that ministering is work. It's not just praying and sitting down. Ministry is work for God outside of the church, okay? It's force times the area of movement, right? Force is moving, all right? Those in priesthood are called to minister unto God. If the person is not a priest, that person is not expected to do anything for God. God does not expect the one without the power, the Holy Spirit, to work because they do not have the Holy Spirit, okay? It's a must. Priests are going to spend an eternity with the Lord. Priests are saved and appointed to do the works, and they are equipped by the Holy Spirit. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Amen. So there's a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, right? Peter understood what he was talking about, so he spoke with authority. When you don't understand what you're talking about, you can second guess yourself. Right? So you don't speak with authority. You speak with question marks. Peter is referring to the special people who are priests only, and that's not everyone. People who are sinners are to no longer be sinners because they repented and have been justified. If you are not a priest, you should not be doing anything. Get washed and clothed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's what you should be doing. Today, people just need to be honest with themselves, and it's really hard because flesh is prideful. Humility is the home of God, and God hates stubbornness. God dwells in those who are contrite in spirit. What does that mean? Humble and broken in spirit, in need of Him. Okay? Jesus gave Peter a lot of work to prove his love for Jesus, and it's the same today. And we're going to read John 21 because we can support that there is a lot of work for those who say they love the Lord. And in John chapter 21, verse 15, it says, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?'" We reviewed this last time, so again, this is a review, and it's good to review. It's good to have repetition because we will learn it and we will not forget it, right? So we know that the Lord commanded Peter to do work. What am I referring to? Tend my sheep, shepherd them, pastor them, oversee their souls, make sure they walk in the will of God. Jesus asked if Peter loved him so many times, and Peter was like, "Lord, you know I do." Peter was getting confused. He was starting to feel bad. We see here that works demonstrate love, right? We can't love Jesus in secret, right? Just like the Father loves us by giving us His Son, all right? There was work. When you were a baby Christian, you girded yourself and you walked where you wished. Some people are in church 30 years and are still a baby Christian because they want to do it their way. They're deciding where they want to go, and this is spiritual immaturity. All right, when you are old, meaning when you mature, you will be clothed by someone else, meaning you will let someone else decide. And that someone is Jesus. You will let Jesus decide. We will go where we do not wish. Okay? The only way we become valuable to Jesus is if we die to Jesus Christ, spiritually. Peter died, but it wasn't how he died that glorified Christ, but him dying for Christ's sake that glorified Christ. So we need to also be ready. Yes, of course, die spiritually, right? Die to oneself. We read about that in the Word. But also, if we are ever put into a situation like Peter, we better be ready to die for the sake of Christ. It doesn't matter if we're allegedly crucified upside down. That's not what glorifies God, being upside down. What glorified God is Peter's life and his willingness to die for his sake. All right? So ask the Lord to give you answers to your prayers of what you want in the Spirit, and he will lead you there. If you are asking for what is in his will, it will come to pass because we serve a good God. Amen? Okay, so only priests enter the kingdom of God. That has to be clear. You must be a priest to enter the kingdom of God. and we work out our own salvation. When we share the gospel, we must be specific as well. We cannot just give people a blank check with God's signature because people are going to fill the line in with whatever they want. They must be told. God is specific, so we must be specific. We teach in depth, not surface level. Our standard is Jesus, amen? Though we mention Paul often, that's true. But Paul's life is a good example of how we should live. When we teach others, sometimes when we teach, we ourselves feel disqualified because some do not realize that when one is teaching, that they are also working out their own salvation. So as the fresh revelation comes, it is shared out. Okay? We are always learning, right? Coming to the knowledge of the truth. That is what is expected of us. We should not count our achievements to impress others because we'll truly sound boastful. Some have seen those who cannot walk suddenly walk, which is a miracle. Others have heard the voice of God, right? Our attitude must always be, I fall short, Lord. That's what our heart must say. Humility. If someone says to you that you're judgmental, tell them that they are lukewarm. Don't be afraid just because we are called to be humble, right? Being a servant of God doesn't always mean the world will interpret us as nice, but we must speak the truth. So if someone says you are judgmental, remind them that they are lukewarm. Don't be afraid. If we don't get it together today and we live according to what God says, right? If we're not living according to what he says, hell is our destination. Amen. Let's go to Exodus 29. Consecration happens outside of the tabernacle. Okay, so slight review here. First, consecration, we go deeper and deeper. And you know what? You may find out that you're not really saved. The word does not agree with us, all right? The word of God does not agree with us. So we may find that we have no faith, no boldness, and no true repentance, but praise God. Because when we find that out, we can change and we can truly make up our mind. The more we seek, the more we will find him, the more we will learn that we really do not know everything. But we can share what we learn with others, and we all can work out our own salvation individually. In Exodus 29, I'm going to read verses 4-7, and it says, "And Aaron and his sons shall bring to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and you shall wash them with water. Then you shall take the garments, put the tunic on Aaron, the robe of the ephod and the breastplate, and gird him with the intricacy woven band of the ephod. You shall put the turban on his head and put the holy crown on the turban. And you shall take the anointing oil, pour it on his head and anoint him. Then you shall bring his sons to put tunics on them." Amen. We should be very familiar with that verse because we read it in the previous episode of this podcast. And I want to highlight here the oil. Do you remember the oil? We discussed this. This is the Holy Spirit. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is for the priest to minister, right? That's the power behind the ministering. Before anyone can serve God, we must have the Holy Spirit inside of us, okay? I don't think there is any sermon that can say that enough. The Holy Spirit cannot just be around you. It must be in you. He must live in us first. So he must be in me and he must be in you, all right? Priests are to dwell in the tabernacle and minister unto God. That's the purpose. Their purpose is to dwell in the presence of God. And we learned about this already in the Old Testament, okay? But today, priests are to serve God. You cannot be a priest and not serve. All right, so the tabernacle is the dwelling of God. It's the dwelling of heaven in the Old Testament. For anyone to enter the tabernacle, then you must be a priest, right? So can you imagine the warnings on the tabernacle? You must be a priest. Today, we hear it is so easy to serve God, but Jesus says it is difficult and not easy. And that's in the Word of God. I'm going to take you to Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to read verses 13 and 14. And it says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it." So we must be willing to submit and be washed by the word. I cannot do it for you and you cannot force me. I can't force you to do anything. You cannot just offer your arms to be washed or just your legs. It must be all of you that is washed, right? That's a commitment, the change of mind. It must be all of you. We all must be willing. We must surrender. Wash me, Lord. This sets a person apart, right? Consecration. The New Testament revealed consecration, which again is being set apart as being justified, meaning a person is adjusted from one position to another, a wrong position to a right position. And at the time a person is justified, they did not do any works for the Lord. Yet they are justified because they surrendered to Jesus, right? And it's not just with their mouth, but in their heart, and the Lord sees it, okay? You cannot trick Jesus. They moved from one position of instability to a position of stability. They are now stable in Christ Jesus. So now what? You're no longer double-minded. You were once double-minded before, but you made up your mind in Christ. Because we choose to follow Jesus and be washed by Christ, we no longer falter between two opinions, like Elisha said. We are required to wear the mind of Christ. This is repentance. This is a change of mind. This is not a change of your church. This is not a change of your pastor or a change of your clothes. It's your mind. If you do not understand the washing of the word, don't even worry about the clothing or the result of being justified, because you must first make up your mind for any of it to matter. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Okay? James chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, "For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Is it not clear that we must wear the mind of Christ? We cannot be double-minded. With this new position, a person receives the clothing of justification. All right, so this is not a promotion, but rather a qualification. You repented and became justified, so you now qualify. For what? For the next steps. You willingly said, "Jesus, wash me. I know nothing and I need you to decide for me. I'm willing to live for you." This is great, because it is really difficult to make up your mind and submit to Christ. No one forced you to do it, because they can't. Jesus sees your heart, and God is seeking for people after his own heart, all right? Something that is important to point out here is that the clothing of justification has no power, all right? You cannot cast out demons yet. You have only just made up your mind. The next step is the coming of the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of you. The Holy Spirit is the power and the seal of our salvation. Today, some aren't getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, though they may have said that they made up their mind and maybe even shared that in front of the church. Why aren't they getting baptized by the Holy Spirit? It's because they haven't really made up their minds. They haven't really changed their mind, meaning no Holy Spirit, meaning no power. Again, saying sorry is not repentance. If you think about it, you can spill coffee all over someone many times and keep saying sorry and sorry and sorry, but you still keep doing it. Saying sorry and repentance is not the same. Repentance is a change of mind. If you repent, then return back to your double-minded thinking, you did not ever really truly repent. If you have the Holy Spirit, you are a priest. You have the power to minister unto God. So it is not only the washing of the word, but also the Holy Spirit that makes you a priest. Both are needed for priests, or else you're not really a priest. And we mentioned this before, but it's like driving without a license. In John chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So this verse says water and spirit, and that's a capital S. That's the Holy Spirit, and we need both. We cannot take any shortcuts to be born again. And again, there's an order. First, we must be washed so that the Holy Spirit can come. God is specific. He mentioned it in order. He mentioned the sequence on purpose. So again, first we are washed by the word. Second, we receive the clothing of justification. Third, here comes the Holy Spirit. He's coming upon us. He is not just bringing a feeling, but a true indwelling. If we don't feel him, but we still move forward in the works of Jesus, and we have done these things, it's the Holy Spirit in you making you to do the things God wants you to do for God's pleasure. The Holy Spirit is to live inside of us. He is the third member of the Holy Trinity, possessing the same power as God the Father and his Son Jesus Christ. They are all equal. They are all God. Amen. Aren't you afraid to say, "He lives in me," if he doesn't? Because that's blasphemy if it's not true. You know, Jews today, they won't even write out the word God, but rather they'll do G an underscore D, for example, because they fear. They don't want to blaspheme God. Today, Many and most aren't afraid of this. Let's understand one thing about repentance. Unless you repent, you cannot enter heaven. Being saved is, it's kind of like knowing math. You must have a firm foundation, right? And you go deeper and deeper. And Jesus expects the same, to have a foundation and to go deeper and deeper in him. And he explained repentance several times in his word. And we know the word is alive and sharper than any double-edged sword. We also know that faith comes from hearing. The word says we are saved by grace through faith. And you can not only teach partial verses. Yet today, many fail to mention or elaborate upon the through faith part. They just put a period, saved by grace. But no, you must teach. You are saved by grace through faith. How can someone be saved if a person doesn't hear the word of God? The gospel is the power to convert the soul. In the gospel, we learn God from faith to faith, from one level to another level. Learning the gospel includes learning repentance. It's a must. Repentance is needed first. Jesus teaches us of the story of two sons, which is a very commonly known parable. But first, before we get to that, we must first understand the two parables that are mentioned before this, because Jesus does this on purpose so that we can build a foundation in what it is he's saying. Amen? Let's go to Luke chapter 15. We're going to read verses 1 to 22, okay? Verse 1, then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him, that's a capital H, that's Jesus, to hear him, all right? So again, him is referring to Jesus. It's really good to understand the context before you get into the parable, because you want to know who's speaking to who. Amen? Let's talk about the parable of the lost sheep. Verse 2, and the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, the man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, Verse 4, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which is lost. I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. So do you see here, there is more joy over just one. Wow. Let's continue to the next parable. In verse 8, this is the parable of the lost coin. Jesus continued, or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I have lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Amen. So again, we see that there is joy over one sinner who repents. Why? Because it is so rare. Jesus taught this from level 0 to level 1. Jesus taught this from level 0 to level 1 so we can build upon our foundation and we can have a good understanding. Jesus is so specific and the greatest teacher of all. Amen? Then Jesus moves on to the parable of the lost son. Then Jesus said, verse 11, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Verse 14, but when he had spent all, and there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want, then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Let's zoom in on this next verse, verse 17, and it says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? So this says he came to himself, and this means that he came to his right mind. The son who was living in a prodigal lifestyle came to his right mind. So we can understand that before he was double-minded, but he returned to his mind. This is a new position, all right? He came back to himself as he began to realize what he had in his father's house. Verse 18, I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So here we see that the son said, I will. Amen. He had a plan. So let your yes be yes and your no be no. And likewise, let your I will be your I will. You better do it and take action. Verse 20, and he, the son, arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. So what the son said was accurate. He did what he said he was going to do. That's good. Verse 22, but the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. So did the son do anything right at this point? Meaning, did he even serve? No, he didn't serve, but he repented and he got the best robe. You see, repentance is a one-time decision. If you decide, meaning if you make up your mind and then you change the next month or even 6 months from now, you did not truly repent. This is a hard choice to repent. It's easy to say sorry. And you can keep saying sorry over and over again as you keep sinning. That's what makes saying sorry so easy. But repentance is making up your mind to stop sinning. This is your agreement, your alignment with the word that you want to live righteously. Okay? It doesn't mean at the moment of repentance that you are now righteous. But you are now justified so that the Holy Spirit can come and you can work towards being righteous. If repentance were easy, the churches today would not be as complacent as they are. You see, churches live in comfort today and they are jailed to materialism. If you live in a house today that you're not meant to live in because it's so expensive, you exist to pay for the house, and that's a big problem. There would be more progress if all truly repented, not to mention much more joy in heaven, as we read earlier. Pastors are busy teaching those who are not on fire, who are not sighing and crying, who have not made up their mind. People aren't just to be praying, but they're to be moving into the things of God. It's work. All right? Repentance is difficult. And in Luke 15, verse 10, it says, likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. It's easy to attend church and pray. But repentance is hard, okay? You and I, we need the Holy Spirit. Sinners must repent so that he can come to you. The Holy Spirit must convince a person of the sin based on the word of God. No one can convict that person or convince that person, and they must willingly decide. So remember that repentance is a change of mind. You're saying, wash me, Lord, so that we can then get our robe of justification. I want that, don't you? Then what? Get ready, because the Holy Spirit is not able to come to you and live in you unless you have that robe of justification. So get ready, because he's coming. Once you have him, you can minister unto God. With the Holy Spirit, you can finally enter the tabernacle. Amen. And this is shared with the love of the Lord. And this is Take It or Leave It. God bless you all.